All right, folks, welcome back to this Mountain West Wire football podcast. This is a special edition, Jeremy Moss going solo. Matt Kennerly will join us maybe later in the episode. We'll see how this turns out, but it's a multi-part thing we're doing here for recording various pieces and things. And check us out. You know, we're on Facebook, Twitter, MWC Wire. Let's just get to our guests because my introduction's boring. We're going to talk about a pretty very unique topic to New Mexico athletics, football, probably not basketball at the moment, even though we could, but that's going really deep of what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Bob Davey and the football program. If you don't know who, if you never checked out nmfishbowl.com, probably should, because that's who we're talking with this afternoon with Daniel Libet. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
All right, so I've been following stuff mainly because you found us out and sent us this info, just because, honestly, you've been doing it about a year plus or so. I'm like, hey, I get email from this guy. What's he talking about? Just curiosity. I'm like, okay, Mexico football program, athletics. You send us stuff our way. We retweet, look into it. I'm like, oh, it's very interesting doing your research. So we're going to talk about what's going on with Bob Davey because he's now suspended for 30 days. And we'll get into that joke a little bit in a moment here about how that came out to be or the timing and all that. But you've been basically, I guess, watchdogging the Lobos. So let people kind of know who you are and what you're about a little bit. You've had a profile in New York Times, which is pretty good, a few months ago back in October. So give a quick overview of like who you are and why the heck are you doing this? Or what's your interest
in
doing this?
So I'm a native of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I grew up a Lobo fan as a kid. My journalism background is in national politics. I spent about a decade covering national politics in Washington, D.C. I now live in Chicago. I was a staff writer at Politico, and I was a contributing writer at National Journal and CNBC and some other places. And so that was my my writing background. But I've had an interest in college sports and the way that college sports is covered, sort of an academic interest in this. And so at the end of the 2016 presidential campaign, which I was writing about for CNBC, I decided to take a break from that and set up shop to cover the program, my hometown college sports program, the University of New Mexico, but to do it in a different kind of way, to do it in a purely journalistic public interest kind of way, which meant that I'm not covering the games. I'm not really interested much on what's going on the field. I'm more interested in what are the issues, what are the problems, what are the hypocrisies and the contradictions. And other than just my connection to UNM and that this was my hometown connection, I was never a student there, that this was the team I rooted for growing up and I had some familiarity with, I thought this would be a program that I could sort of seize upon and just run through the gauntlet of really kind of investigative watchdog public interest reporting. And so I set up a WordPress blog in late 2016, I suppose, November of 2016, and started writing stories and making public records requests for information about the program. And I thought I'd do that for maybe a couple of months, but UNM has been a fire hose of problems for some time, and certainly since when I started coming around. And so one thing led to another, and I've just kind of kept at it. Spent most of 2017 writing stories about it. The blog has dozens of stories now, mm-hmm. That really look in the financial underpinnings and so forth. And then obviously what I think we're going to be discussing most today is I really glommed on to allegations that were being made against Bob Davey starting years ago that really never got reported out or investigated by local media in New Mexico. And so I kind of took it upon myself to be the person to do that work and have kind of foreshadowed much of what ultimately was reported in by UNM in its investigations of Bob Davey that was released this past week. So that's basically soup to nuts of how I got to from politics to blogging about the Lobos.
It's a crazy story. So let me ask you this really quick. So I'm going through, like, you write not very frequently, but you have good stuff when it comes up on your website. So I was going back to see like your first piece, which is November 2016 looks like. So was your interest to start this because of something? Because the first piece is about Wise Pies. Was it I know you're interested in Lobos, but what was your interest? I can see how the political side works into this, like that type of getting information, getting requests, getting public record type of information to build an article or build a case about something interesting. Like, besides being like a Lobo fan or growing up in the area, like, what was it, just because you hear about something like, hey, this might be interested, I'm interested in looking into this because I'm hearing something, or did you just dive in because you already kind of knew something was going on? Or, like, I get how you started, but what was your, to go into, like, the, like everything you're doing right now? Like, did something you see in the past?
I had really no inside. I had no sources. I had never reported on UNM, other than when I was in high school and I interned at the one of the newspapers in Albuquerque and shadowed the men's basketball reporter, but that was not particularly useful information like a decade or so later. The Wise Pies naming rights agreement for the Pit was a story that had been written about in the Albuquerque Journal and covered in local New Mexico TV stations for over a year, and I think to even the most casual observer, it just seemed like a terrible deal. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of criticism for UNM taking this deal, and particularly the way that the naming rights agreement was structured. And so, to me, I started by just wanting to know how university officials were discussing this deal amongst themselves, and so I made some public records requests for emails between administrators in the athletic department and other people who were involved at the university who organized the agreement, to just sort of see if they were being a little bit more candid about things in email discussions than they were being, I felt, in their public comments about the deal. And so that was just because it was the timing, but that was the first thing that I kind of thought to start digging into. And obviously, that deal effectively fell apart and was replaced by another deal. So it was one of a number of things. You know, almost every rabbit hole I've decided to go down covering, you know, digging into UNM has borne fruit. I mean, the hits are very easy, in large part because the problems have just not really been addressed, and there's a culture of kind of dishonesty and a lack of self-criticism that's going on at the university that sort of begs journalists and the public to confront UNM with a lot of its missteps, and so that was one of them.
Do you think part of the reason, like, we'll get to the Dave and football stuff a second, but is it because obviously that area, there's, I believe, just Albuquerque Journal, a couple radio station or two, and TV. Is it because the manpower is not there to do this, or they don't want to do this, or because it is a sticky situation? Like, say you cover, say it's a sports guy covering stuff like this compared to a news person. Do you think there's some reason for this stuff maybe not coming out, or people don't want to look into it, or people just don't care? Like, who's their reporting, or is it just like a manpower thing? Because you know how it is. There's not as many people doing what you're doing, or, you know, I mean, news type of stuff at the moment.
Yeah, I believe that the problem is a national problem. Mm-hmm. I think you find this basically in college sports, you know, in any market. I think, yeah, I mean, New Mexico generally is a news desert. There's not a lot of journalistic resources. There's a sort of overinflated sense of the Lobos there, which I guess is not totally unique, but somewhat unique to the community, where there's this sense that this program is much sort of more prominent and has much more potential than it actually does. And I think that makes people even more credulous about some of the things that are going on behind the scenes. And it's also sort of, as a mid-major program, like other mid-major programs in the Mountain West, it's a place where, you know, there's a lot of carpet bagging. People come in, take advantage of it. You know, there's, you know, at the coach level or the administrator mm-hmm. level, there's people who come in who are not actually looking for UNM to be their destination. They're looking for it to be a stepping stone. And so they don't necessarily think that the decisions that they make, they're going to have to be ultimately accountable for, because they'll hopefully, in their minds, be somewhere else, somewhere better, when the check finally comes due. And so I think that's a brew for maybe a little bit extra problems: the lack of journalistic resources in the state, the nature of UNM, the attitude of the supporters of the university towards the program. I think that all kind of makes it a little bit more susceptible for problems, but certainly not unique. I think I really feel like you could find this at most any university in the country.
Yeah, right? I covered BYU extensively for, like, they, like, it's different. You got BYU, there's Utah Jazz here, like Real Salt Lake, University of Utah. Utah State's way down the list, essentially. But I did, when I worked there, it was like daily radio show. I did every day covering BYU, 4-hour daily show on BYU. There's like a lot of people doing different papers because where the state's set up, there's like one base down in that area that covers like the southern part of Salt Lake. All their sports thing is just BYU. And then anytime, like I was like, your thing to fishbowl the website. It makes perfect sense what Dave Bliss said. People, BYU fans, well, yes, they've had great success in football, win national title, or even with basketball. Jimmer Fred at UNM's had good success as well, the basketball side, more so than football, but it's the exact similar thing. Anything you say can't be negative. You're bashing a program, it'll be 100% positive, sunny skies, which the radio show I worked on, yeah, you want to be more positive than negative, but we see people on Twitter, people calling in, emails we'd get, people, you say one quasi-negative word about former head coach Bronco Mendenhall, and they throw fire on you. It's like, geez, relax, people. So it's everywhere, especially when there's no pro team, when New Mexico is the only athletic program in town, essentially, or sports. It's like UNLV in Las Vegas. It's you can find, like I said, anywhere you can find this where there's not a big pro team, and you've had, I'd say Lobos had above average success, especially in basketball, where they think, you're right, they should be better than what they are, but there's been a slump, and they don't want to hear about stuff like this, I guess.
Right. And then you can even find this. I mean, so I'm in Chicago now. I mean, University of Illinois, which is covered by both of the major Chicago daily newspapers and has a lot of Chicago coverage of it, has been a disaster, a financial disaster. I mean, there's been, you know, recent stories about all the buyouts they've been paying and the legal fees they've been paying for coaches for a number of years. So I don't necessarily think that it's just a small market problem. I think, you know, small media markets do allow or do kind of create an environment of a certain lack of accountability. But I think we find this with big markets. I think we find this with, you know, with major teams. You know, you look at throughout the SEC, I don't feel like most of those programs are being covered with tremendous, you know, journalistic firepower at what is really going on in terms of the way that the programs are being run and the athletes are being treated and the budgets are being spent. So yeah, I think there's just a national problem with how college sports is being covered, and you can sort of find specifics in each individual instance. But yeah, you know, I feel like it goes well beyond just one program here or there.
Oh yeah, like Baylor, Michigan State stuff right now with Larry Nassar, like that's absolutely all sorts of stuff going on, or even SMU Bagman stuff down like SEC
yep.
country, or the most recent you always see on Twitter, SEC makes $42 million in revenue. Well, what do we got? We got to do something with the money. Let's build a $3 million facility for Alabama football athletics. It's like,
right.
That's exactly. Another story, exactly. But there's a reason.
Yeah,
that
it's all part and parcel. What I was hoping to do at New Mexico was just create one example of what happens when you cover college sports purely through the light of a public institution, where you don't get distracted by the entertainment or the affinity to an alma mater, where you just treat it like what it is, you know, because other than the private schools, which still have some relationship to the public, but mm-hmm. you know, most of the universities that people care about are public institutions. Most of the universities whose athletics departments, I should say, people care about are public institutions and are taking advantage of tax breaks and public and taxpayer dollars and are living off of in-kind contributions from the universities, and the athletic administrators and coaches are public employees. And yet, you know, we treat, you know, we think about them in this context. Usually one out of every 99 stories, somebody will finally think, all right, maybe I should kind of look at the budget, or maybe I should look at, you know, what the faculty senators are saying about this. But for the most part, we treat it like just pure sports entertainment, and I don't think it is. And so this was my effort to sort of create a conversation about, you know, look what happens when somebody actually, you know, runs this through the gauntlet of that kind of perspective. And I think, you know, New Mexico has been a useful exemplar in that, you know, I've found quite a few stories to write, and so has other, you know, media outlets in New Mexico, and it really hasn't been able to stand up to the scrutiny one iota.
All right, let's get to good stuff, because that's what people are hearing about. So I wanted to get a good background, because this isn't just the Lobos, or like, you could, if you dig deep enough at any public program, you could find something. Like, it may not be as much as Mexico, or it could be, or any other program, it could be little or a lot. There's going to be something. Somebody did something. You know what I mean? It's like, it could happen. So here's what we want to do for those who haven't, under a rock, Bob Davey most recently, I guess, well, he started this in October. I don't want to jump around too much, but like the first big thing, let's go back to that really quick and we'll kind of go backwards until now, I guess, if that makes sense. Like you had that piece in what, the first week of October, about Bob Davey being under review. And I remember I chatted with somebody DM'd on Twitter, you know, Frank, we were asking a few questions about none of this is true, it's not going to happen. And so we asked why, he wouldn't answer. I'm like, okay, that means there's probably something there. So I want to be kind of humor. We don't need to go into that.
That's a good intuition generally when a spokesperson is saying, you know, don't worry about it.
And we ask
that there's probably something to worry about.
Yeah, because when people send stuff like, well, you're ready, not to question what you're writing, but you always think about just curiosity. Like, okay, could this all be true? Could part of it? Typically, people don't run with stuff, especially with your background. So I'm not going to run with this because I want to. You know what I mean? It's not because. But there could be always be question. Okay. What's true, what's not. When I read over your stuff, it's always interesting. But I figured from what you've been doing, it's not just a one-off thing. You've been doing over and over. And usually a couple weeks later, at least 90% of what you did was correct or came out, essentially. So pretty confident what you've been doing. And so we asked the proper question. So it's not if that's not the case, then tell us what's accurate or not. And there's no response. We chat about a few other things, but not a big deal. So the fun, I'll be humorous here. Not humorous, but one thing you noted in there was the high crime of who was it, using a bathroom or something? Bob Davey getting pissed at one guy. There's all sorts of small stuff that's kind of not, it's not funny, but it's just like, why is that a big issue? But then we get into things where the big stuff, like the stuff about him getting into players' faces, like players who are having concussions, get back on the field, fights at halftime. Like, how surprised are you when you're seeing stuff about, or the stuff about breaking into people's apartments? Like, when you're going through that first piece where we kind of outlined all these different allegations, whether it's getting players back in the field, fighting with players, covering up crimes, not reporting crimes, like what was your surprise level when you stumbled upon or looked into found this type of information?
Well, not much by that point. I mean, basically from the time I started the blog in, again, the end of 2016, I'd been hearing, you know, people had started coming to me with allegations and issues about Bob Davey. This was no secret by any means. In fact, much of what part of what ultimately became the university's internal investigation began 5 years before that, or 5 years before now, when a couple of outgoing senior football players leaked an anonymous letter to the Albuquerque Journal raising issues about the way that black players were treated on the team by Davey, a physical altercation between Davey and a football player of a game, and some other issues. And so the university at the time said that they had investigated these claims, found no merit to them, and basically fully exonerated Davey and put it to bed. But since that point, there was, you know, a lot of issues and questions rumbled about within the athletic department, and you know, no one really touched this. The Albuquerque Journal didn't touch any of this stuff or really put much effort into exploring these things. They, certain beats in the paper, especially on football, they have not been particularly aggressive in the investigative realm. So I had been hearing about this for a while. I had been making records requests about some of the allegations for a while, really for the better part of a year before that first story, which was September 13th, when I broke the news that the university, this actually had risen to the level of the university now hiring a former federal judge to start doing an initial review of some of these claims, again, claims that dated back years. So from that point on, much of what ultimately came out this past week were things that I had heard about at least a year before then. There was very few things that were revelatory to me. And I had written, as you noted, so I broke the story of the investigation in September, and then I wrote a couple of lengthy stories about what I was hearing the specific allegations that were being looked at were. They did range from improper involvement in sexual assault allegations made against football players to the compromising of the athlete drug testing process to physical altercations with members of the football staff or with players themselves. to some racially insensitive comments. These were all the allegations that I had been hearing about, and some other things. And so, right, so obviously the biggest one, especially in the context of the Michigan State scandal and the fact that the Department of Justice had investigated the University of New Mexico in general for its reporting process on sexual assault, on sexual assaults on campus, were the claims that Davey had somehow involved himself improperly or interfered improperly in some of the campus police investigations of football players who women had accused of rape or sexual assault. That became sort of the most important and also most inflammatory allegation that he was charged with. To return to your original question, I wasn't very surprised, and a lot of people who were in the athletic department or on campus also weren't very surprised. These things have been bouncing around like dirigibles for years.
That's what it seems like. Like, I'm scanning through again some of your older stuff. You've talked to plenty, once you start to get this thing going, you've talked to plenty of people off the record, a couple, I think, on the record about certain things. But it seems like the biggest stuff, like, okay, like, there's a differentiation of, like, crime, obviously. Or if, like, you go to jail for shoplifting for this, you go to jail for if you injure somebody, or, you know what I mean? There's always different levels of variation. And having a fight or something with a guy, like, the verbal... Okay, that happens. It's made not a big deal. But the biggest thing for me is what you just mentioned. Like, Bob Davey tried, he's like, I'll investigate this charge myself for sexual assault. Or, like you always hear, let's go through the legal system. Which sometimes, we're not going to suspend a player or discipline them until it goes through. But when the allegation is that guys, like, rape somebody, it's like, how can you let them hang out and still do stuff? And so almost let the legal process come out. It's like, that type of, or Bob Davey goes, I'll investigate this myself. How does he either, A, have time or the qualifications to do that? It's like, it seems like it's a joke for what he's trying to run a program for these
well,
types of
right.
serious
I mean,
things.
The end, yeah. I mean, I think there's just a national problem with the way that sexual assault on college campuses is investigated. I think there's a strong case that campus police departments are ill-equipped to handle investigating crimes of that severity. So this goes beyond just even athletics. Mm-hmm. I think there should be a movement to have these sorts of crimes be investigated by local police departments and not by campus, where there seems to be at least more of an arm's length approach, or the possibility of an arm's length approach if you don't have campus police involved. But yeah, you then add into the athletics mix, where an allegation made against a member of a high profile sports team, and you see that this only gets even more complicated. Naturally. So even before, you know, any of the allegations about Davey, we're talking about something that's a kind of systemic problem around college campuses, which is, one, campus police shouldn't be investigating this to begin with. They certainly shouldn't be the ones in charge of investigating something against a member of a high-profile sports program. And because these police departments have relationships with the athletics department. I mean, the police provide security at games. They provide security for the players sometimes when they go, when they, you know, they travel in state. There's a whole other kind of extracurricular relationship there, so that only further muddies the water. But yeah, I mean, the allegations against Davey were that in a couple of instances, specifically one, that he, you know, was sort of trying to triage a investigation, and that the cop is sort of running some sort of interference, that the cops are going to him to coordinate, and that at one point, I mean, again, this is the sort of the most inflammatory allegation, which he has now denied sternly, was that at one point he gathered his team in a private meeting and effectively asked them to gather dirt on a woman who had accused a football player of raping her. Now, he has now said, though he hasn't spoken much publicly about any of the other specific allegations, he did go on the record in a statement at the end of last week to vehemently deny he did anything like that. I had heard from my sources the exact same allegation that was ultimately reported by UNM's Office of Equal Opportunity about that meeting. So that
was that.
I was familiar with that allegation.
That particular one, was that the same one where it may or may not be? Because I think maybe I'm getting things mixed together because it's quite a bit of what's going on. There's also, was it the same one where the female who brought these forth left school and left university and left the state, the one that got dropped, where they saw her on video saying that she wanted revenge? Is that the same situation or is that a different one?
I can't remember. I mean, part of it is because the victims have been anonymized. It's a little bit. I mean, I have the police reports for three or four of these cases where football players have been accused but ultimately never prosecuted for sexual assault. So I shouldn't venture a guess. I don't remember myself if that was a different instance.
But that particular thing was mentioned where they came to Davey and like, well, it might be different. I don't want to get these together, but there's another portion of what was reported that a female made a video about wanting revenge, and that's how Davey tried to discredit her. That's correct, right? From what's been reported.
That sounds like one of the things. I can't remember the specific myself.
There's something
so
about
I,
it. Okay.
But that, yeah. That, yeah, I mean,
there's a video there, about that, somebody trying to say because
right,
they wanted
right,
revenge.
Right. I mean, basically,
that.
There's been four publicly reported. Since Bob Davey became head football coach, there's been four publicly reported sexual assault investigations into Lobo football players. In each of these instances, the football players have not been prosecuted, although in one particular, there was a lot of concern why the football player wasn't prosecuted. In other words, the police thought that they were referring a prosecutable case. It didn't seem to make sense to a number of people I've spoken to why that wasn't prosecuted, and people have had questions what ultimately was the reason that the district attorney didn't take up the case. But yeah, so there's been four publicly reported instances, and there's been a couple of cases where it seems like the police have gone to Davey as a kind of intermediary, or Davey has become a sort of intermediary. And then from that point, there's been different level of charges of how actively he's tried to involve himself in the actual investigation. And the example I just spoke of where he allegedly or was accused of rounding up his players to sort of dig up dirt on an accuser was probably the most inflammatory of those allegations.
Okay, I did find we're talking about just so we can clear things up, so we're not like saying things that aren't true. So as part of like you are correct, like the first part about the LT meeting about saying the female said no, the guy thought it was sensual, and no one stopped, and then that led to the LT team meeting to get, like you said, quote, get some dirt on this person, and that led to them finding that video. So I guess that's all the same case where they. According to the investigation, Davey argued to police that the video undermined woman's credibility. So it looks like that's all the, at least from this report, from what's the same thing. And then
I believe that's right.
Yeah,
I believe that's right.
Yeah, I'm reading something directly. I just wanted to make sure we're clear.
The other challenge is, again, I've talked to, you know, I've read the report. I've done my own reporting. Mm-hmm. Some of it, most of it matches up. So when they've described, you know, they're not naming anybody in these
reports. Correct.
They're,
yeah.
They're describing them anonymously as witnesses. But for most of it, I think I know who specifically they're talking about. In a couple of cases, I don't know. I don't know if the person who I believe is the accuser is the same person that they're addressing in a particular case. It's a touch muddy.
Yeah, I can see that.
At a certain level.
And it's all in one paragraph, so I assume. And then I guess the reason dropped, they moved out of state and out of university. So, this is probably a big question. You used to answer yes or no if you have more. This seems like the way the chain of command has gone, sort of like with the Penn State situation. Tell a coach, tell that coach, they'll tell the police, but they don't tell the police. Is that sort at some point maybe going on a little bit, just how it's being?
I think there's a lot of things in play here, and this is what's important for people to understand about all of these kinds of investigations, but specifically the one in New Mexico, which is there is a lot of mixed agendas here. And that's even at the level of the investigation. So there is not a sort of consensus among the leadership at UNM. There has not been a consensus of exactly what they've wanted out of this investigation. There's people with influence who simply wanted this to never happen, who want Davey to just be free of this burden, and never wanted a second investigation or any of this stuff to materialize. There's other people who were hoping that this would lead to his firing. And there's other people who were somewhere in between who felt the need for an investigation, and were open to whatever consequences would come out of it once things were found. So this is a political dynamic with mixed agendas and with mixed interests. And because of that, it seems like, I mean, this has been an incredibly clunky process. It's been clunky from a PR standpoint, where the university ultimately defaulted to never acknowledging that Davey was the target of this investigation in the first place, even though it was patently obvious, and certainly now it's been dispositive that he was the target of this investigation, to even the way that this was handled. I mean, Davey has now appealed the 30-day suspension that he was given. And, you know, in reading it, I'm not a lawyer, but in reading it and sort of consulting with a couple of people who are more knowledgeable on this, I mean, he might well have a case from just a procedural
level.
That's
what I was thinking, like a technicality why he should not be suspended.
Right. I mean, and the university, I mean, right now there's a different set of facts, but a kind of a parallel situation going on at Colorado State with Larry mm-hmm. Stacey, where Colorado State really just seems intent on terminating Eustace regardless of the cost. That's not the case in New Mexico. The cost matters. And, you know, so it appears to me that what happened was they went in, again, with different people having different interests in what ultimately was the result, and kind of decided early on, or decided at the beginning of, let's say, November, December, that they were either going to find readily terminable facts where they could buy him or fire him with cause, wouldn't have to pay the $1.6 million or so left on his contract, or they were not. And if they were not, they were going to just try to move past this quickly, that they didn't want to be stuck in some sort of no man's land, which is exactly where they find themselves now. So, yeah, I mean, if the university was just intent on getting rid of Bob Davey because they believed, you know, enough of the allegations, or that they had enough credibility, or that the cloud was real enough that they would pay whatever it would take, this would have been handled probably a little bit differently. But I think it really did come down to the money. The one, the money of the buyout, and two, the fear that Davey might sue them. I mean, he's retained counsel throughout this entire process dating back to, I guess, the spring of 2017 when they started first doing this investigation. So yeah, I mean, these are the calculations that they've been weighing, and I feel like, you know, to whatever extent there's been some already obvious bungling of how to handle this investigation.
It seems to me, you know, that maybe I'll answer this instead of you. It seems like the school, not that they don't care, but like you mentioned, like, the reason this is coming out because you've been a thorn a little bit, requesting this stuff, getting info, and like you find option A leads to option B leads to C. Like I said, goes down the rabbit hole finding, hey, this is something I was looking for, but I found out. Let's pursue this. It seems to me like, had you not done anything, this probably very few people would even know about it, because it seems like school doesn't seem to care. I don't know. Like you said, it could be a money thing.
Yeah, I will agree. I will agree. I think that New Mexico administrators and leadership at New Mexico have often, over the last couple of years in particular, shown a willingness to only do uncomfortable things insofar as they feel they have to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly has seemed to be the thesis of what's gone on with the athletics department in general, and with the Davey investigation specifically. Yes, I mean, now because of the reporting that, you know, largely I had done on this, the New Mexico Attorney General has publicly taken interest in this case. He put out a press release shortly after UNM announced the 30-day suspension, saying that he was now going to look at this. One of the challenges for UNM was that its investigation had no subpoena power. They're not law enforcement.
Yeah.
Everybody who wants to talk to them, or who would talk to them, would do it so purely on a voluntary basis. And as their, as one of their reports, their OEO report, made clear, mm-hmm. most of the people that they attempted to speak to declined to speak to them. And on two cases, two witnesses told them explicitly that they were really only comfortable to to speak candidly about what they had experienced if they were either in a civil proceeding or in a criminal investigation.
Well, Dave, that because afraid of Dave? Like, I saw that too. I think it was at least seven, I believe, or a good amount. Why was that the case? Is it retaliation? Their fear of what? Well, I get the point. If you're under oath, it's. Why would that be the case?
Because college sports is a closed society, and because there is a legitimate fear that if you are known to be a snitch, it will be very difficult for you to get your next job. I mean,
coaches? I thought it was coaches. I guess players too, but I guess that makes sense too. If you rat on call out a coach for wrongdoing, that why would I want to hire you here? Because there are secrets and stuff they keep when they're or not just secrets, but I mean like stuff you don't tell everybody about. What's your just stuff that's on the up and up? I mean, not even stuff that like this, like up and up stuff. You don't tell everybody about what you're doing because it's like the reason you can't go to practice half the time because they're paranoid about secrets.
Yeah, I mean, this is again a cultural problem in college athletics, which is there is no it is a closed society. It's a circle the wagons kind of profession, and there's really no recourse. If people. You look, I mean, you get your next job based on your reputation from your previous job, and your ability to keep your mouth shut is a huge part of that. It's a huge problem in college sports. People will only talk if they feel that they have that they're effectively required to talk. At least that gives them an excuse.
I don't know. I would think if you're talking up about somebody being raped or something, that you shouldn't be seen as a bad person bringing that up. Say, hey, this should not be done. We should, if they did something wrong, they should be punished in the appropriate manner. Maybe it's my thinking, but you would think, hey, this is something that's terribly wrong. Shouldn't be covering it up. If the players need whatever, any assistance going through this, sure, fine. But they shouldn't try to find dirt on people. You'd think if you're speaking up about that and you're going to eventually work somewhere else, that shouldn't be a negative against
you. Well, I agree with you on a moral and ethical level, but I mean, practically speaking, look, yeah. I mean, I spoke to sources who seem so tangential now to UNM. They have other jobs and other programs around the country. It seems like what would be the reason why you'd still feel, and who really had stuff to say about the situation at New Mexico. And I asked them, I said, well, why would you feel still a kind of commitment to keep secrets of a program that you're no longer involved in, mm-hmm. that you have maybe some hostile feelings about? And again, it kept coming back to the same reason, is that there is an anti-snitch culture in college athletics, where there's a feeling, at least, and it's probably a verifiable feeling, that if you have a reputation for just talking out of school, so to speak, you will find it very difficult to kind of continue in this line of work. And this is also at a player level. I mean, look, most college, when you are a player in a football program, and even if you leave and you don't like the coach, you might still feel like, I would maybe need a job recommendation. I want to also get into football coaching. Or, more likely is the case, you just don't want to deal with it anymore. You might have had a bad experience, but it was your 2 years or your 4 years or whatever, and you just want to leave it behind you, and you don't want to get sucked back into something. So there's just very little incentives for people to want to speak candidly about some controversial thing that had happened at a place that they either worked or that they played for. And that always redounds to the benefit of the person who's being investigated, is that there's a lot of force against disclosure in a whole bunch of fronts. And so the fact, I mean, look, Michigan State is a quintessential example. I mean, how much bad stuff was going on there for how long, and how many people were involved in it, and yet how long did it take? Years. It took ESPN 3 years of investigating this, filing lawsuits before they were able to write their first story.
Yeah,
so,
and preemptive university suing back at you to not get that stuff
absolutely,
out.
Jeez. Absolutely, because that's the other thing, and this is the case with Davey too. Everybody is tied into each other. There is this fear that if one person goes down, a lot of other people are going to go down with them, because let's take just the Davey matter. He has bosses. There's oversight. There's supposed to be a process of accountability there. If he ultimately failed, as he's been accused of failing, of living up to his standards, then a lot of other people who are also employed at the university, either in the office of the university council or at the level of the presidents or regents or past regents, may also feel threatened or may feel professionally threatened or reputationally threatened. So, you know, the chess game of how do you get one guy without everybody else also suffering is one that is also part of this. So, yeah, I mean, this is not just some pure effort to just get to the truth and then hold accountable whoever is you know, must be held accountable. There's a lot of politics involved. There's a lot of self-interest and self-preservation involved by a whole bunch of people. It's a messy and in many ways, you know, sort of depressing process. Whatever the truth may ultimately be, you just never would get the sense that it's going to come from the university. I mean, maybe it will come from law enforcement and maybe it will come from journalism, but, you know, the hope that it will come internally from the university's investigation is fairly naive.
And I guess you answered a prior question I asked before about why would they not speak on the record. I guess because it incriminate themselves. Maybe they make some deal like, oh, yeah, I knew about this, but I'll tell what this guy did worse than me if I get not as bad as a penalty or something against them. So maybe that's part of it, too, in addition to saying, well, here's the thing. If Dave Bliss – he's in New Mexico, Baylor, that he got a job eventually somewhere down the road, so can't never be as worse as that. So it's like – I don't know.
Or what happens if, you know, I speak out about somebody and they keep their job or they're ultimately exonerated? Mm-hmm. Well, then I've put my, you know, I've put my hide on the line and to no good. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of obvious fears, and then there's just, you know, I mean, how interested was the university at really digging into this? I mean, again, we're talking about them reinvestigating things that they had purportedly investigated 4 or 5 years ago. That doesn't breed a lot of confidence that this is a university that, you know, takes care of its business if they have to go over their same work once more. And because of, again, all of these other people who may be caught up in it, I think there's a fear that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, unless there's just some sort of silver bullet, you know, the university's prerogative will be just to kind of move past it in some way. What's you know, whether or not that was their prerogative, what seems very clear, the way that this has sort of landed nationally and reverberated across Twitter is like this is not going to leave the university, that they now find themselves very much still in the middle of this. And certainly Davies' appeal will only kind of continue the cloud over them.
And also, it doesn't look good when people knew about this mid-January. Oh, wait, signing day's in 3 weeks. Let's wait to announce this bad news once you get all these guys on the dotted line. So if something bad happens to Davey, not bad, but I mean, or not, let me rephrase that, say he does get fired or coaching change, you better believe with this information, if players want to leave who signed, they should be able to go wherever they want because that's typically precedent set when stuff happens. And there's that new rule they're trying to be in place. If a coach leaves, you can be eligible right away. But I'm guessing if Davey does ultimately get fired from this, which I probably think he should be for what's going on, that it looks also bad as well when they push back that naming the suspension the day after they announce their class. So it's like,
without a doubt, that was in a long line of just boneheaded moves. That was truly a cake taker. That was just a purely cynical move. And again, it's impossible to imagine, frankly, any other coincidental reason why that was when the investigation was announced. I think people, if you had any kind of cynicism about the way that things are being handled at New Mexico, that really only legitimized it.
Exactly. So let's wrap it up. We've been chatting for quite a while, but it's been amazing stuff. Two more quick things. Was Davey not interviewed by the law firm because he had a lawyer or because why? That seems to be obvious. They should have tried to interview him. From what I read, they like back to the technicality of procedural stuff, that he wasn't interviewed because of sufficient information or building a case. Was that your thinking or reason why he was never interviewed?
Because I have not. One of the things that I intend now to sort of dig into is precisely that question. I have no idea why he wasn't interviewed. It makes absolutely no sense. And Davey is now using that fact as kind of exculpation for himself that, you know, he pointed out in his statement in which he announced that he was going to appeal the suspension, just that matter, that he was never interviewed by the outside law firm that was purportedly conducting the sort of ultimate investigation of all of this. I have no idea. I haven't been able to talk to anybody yet who's had a clue on this, but it does seem like there might be some extenuating reason why this, not simply that they forgot or doesn't seem to make sense to talk to the guy, including the fact that one of the, again, going back to that allegation about that he had rounded up the players and sort of suggested that they find dirt on somebody, the only person ultimately who you should ask the question about that on the record is Bob Davey. So that alone, to say nothing of the other allegations, you got to ask the person who's been accused of saying those words or of conveying that sentiment to his team. So yeah, that's just, you know, again, one more piece that just doesn't make sense and more reason why additional investigation into this thing is warranted.
Because even if they think for some reason, like, information gathering shouldn't talk to him, which I think it points to that it does, you got to at least try, because it's just a weird situation, because you can ask to speak to Davey. Like, there's the other players or whoever those anonymous people are, which assume are former staff, current staff, former players, current players, you know what I mean, just part of the program. They could say, we don't want to speak. That would speak volumes, but you got to at least attempt. If Davey doesn't speak, like you said, no subpoena power, not under oath, not a lawsuit, courtroom setting, he doesn't have to speak to this guy if he doesn't want to. You have to at least say, I want to speak to Davey, and you put that response, whatever it is, in your report. To me, it's
And the one person, to make this point, to kind of contrast this, you know, I had said before that one of the problems is that, you know, the university's investigation doesn't have any subpoena power. It's not a criminal. I mean, it's not a law enforcement investigation. It's just basically like an internal corporate investigation. The one person that they actually have leverage over in this setting is Bob Davey.
Yeah.
If you're an employee, I mean, he would likely be compelled to speak to investigators to maintain his jobs, unlike other people where it was merely voluntary. If he wants to keep his job, I think, I mean, I haven't read the fine print of his contract in the last couple of weeks, but I would imagine he would be required in that scenario to actually speak honestly to investigators. So that, again, one time where an interview actually, you know, the university would have had similar law enforcement-like leverage is in an interview with Bob Davey, and apparently they just blew it off.
All right, so one last thing. They had the switch of – we don't need to go into Paul Krebs and everything, but does the switch of AD have anything to do with this muddleness, or is it – like, how does that play into this, or does it at all, do you think?
Yeah, I've heard a couple of different things. One is I've heard that, you know, again, Eddie Nunez, who is the AD who was hired this past year to replace Paul Krebs and came from LSU, has never gone on the record about Davey, about sort of what his hopes were for Davey, but you could imagine that he probably would have been fine on one level of having the opportunity to have his own football coach to hire. I mean, this is what every AD basically lives for, is to be able to hire either a men's basketball coach or a football coach. That's the where they make their pay. However, what I was told was that he was basically let out of the investigation. This was done at the level of the regents, the law school dean, the president of the university, and the office of the university council, and the new athletic director was kind of sidestepped to a point. Now, again, this is just what I've heard. I don't know that to be true, but I certainly know that he wasn't leading the investigation. I think this kind of hit him by surprise from what I've been able to gather. I don't know that he was fully aware of exactly the extent of the investigation or what was going on when he took the job. He had to have known at some level that, you know, things were a bit of a mess at New Mexico. Much of the mess had already been reported in terms of the sweet deal and the Scotland trip and the various investigations into the athletic department, so he would have been of the mind that he was coming into a bit of a problematic landscape. But yeah, this is something that perhaps caught him by surprise. I don't know that he has had much influence on the direction of this, but again, something else I intend to look at. I mean, now the story is, from a reporter's standpoint, okay, what exactly happened in this investigation? What happened over the last month, since basically late December until late January? Why, you know, who was influencing it? Why were these decisions made? What was the conversation? I mean, there was a repeated back and forth between the university's lawyers and Bob Davey's lawyers throughout this period of time. I reported a story at the end of last year in which the university's lawyers actually allowed Bob Davey's lawyer to edit statement that the university president had made about the investigation. So to really dig into sort of like what was going on, to say nothing of what's the truth of these allegations, but how were these actually being handled and what were the different influences and factors is an interesting story and one I intend to do some reporting on.
So that just seems like what's next, because I guess we wait for the appeal if it's approved or denied, but also the back to AD thing. Why would it surprise either of us from what you've told me today or what you reported? Why would they tell him anything or much about it? Because they've been trying to hide or cut corners this whole way. But, so like you said, so is that what's next? So Davey appeals the suspension. There's got obviously more to this because it can't end with him being suspended for 30 days. Is you're thinking that the suspension was them saying this is a close case on Bob Davey?
I think that was the hope. I mean, so now obviously that's not the end of the story and the suspension. There's other things too. I mean, you know, I've been hearing whispers about concerns that other people may file suit against UNM, potentially accusers, sexual assault accusers may file suit. Keep in mind, one of the sexual assault accusers, again, and I can't quite figure out if this is one of the how this person was or was not identified in the OEO report, but one of a female student at UNM who had accused a football player of sexual assault had settled with the university for a up to now undisclosed sum. At the same time, the football player who was accused or football players who were accused have a federal civil lawsuit against the university claiming that their civil rights were violated by the campus police. I mean, it's incredible that the university may ultimately have to pay both the alleged accuser and the alleged accused in a case about how it handled it. It's like only UNM could figure out how to get themselves in that pickle. But yeah, so I think there's questions about who else might weigh in legally here. I think that's something that the university is very nervous about, and to say nothing of, you know, yeah, the front and center, Bob Davey, and ultimately, does this suspension stick, or is he able to overturn it? Do new allegations come, and what happens with the attorney general, who said that he will now start investigating what happened in the football program? So, yeah, this is we're talking months, if not years, more of potential controversy.
Can't they get him for cause on this stuff? Because I know coaches can get paid for literally anything for being fired. Like, we've been chatting about the CSU stuff as well with the Stacey. He had something in his contract about if they're going to let him go, which seems 99% the case, especially since the interim was gone and has the same allegations against him, and there's a clause in the contract and don't have to pay him. Can New Mexico get out of this and not pay Davey? Or is it them bungling it because of he never got interviewed? That's his way he'll stand on and get paid, but still.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they would imagine that if they fire him for cause, which means that they wouldn't pay him the remainder of his contract, he would sue them, and that they would face protracted litigation and the possibility that they would lose that. I think the university is the athletics department is broke, as has been reported in a number of stories over the last couple of years. I don't know how much stomach they have for a legal fight where they might ultimately have to pay the buyout. And clearly, based on the moves they made so far, they decided that they don't have the stomach for that. I mean, interestingly, the general counsel at UNM is a woman named Elsa Cole. Two jobs before her posting at New Mexico, she was the general counsel for the NCAA. So I know the NCAA is one of the organizations that probably has the least respect publicly. She was fired when Mark Emmert took over in 2010 or 2011 and then ultimately wound up at New Mexico. But she should be familiar at least with the mitigating circumstances of this. But, you know, obviously made a calculation so far that they didn't have the goods to fire him.
All right. So ultimately, do you think – is Bob Davey going to be the coach next year?
I think he'll start out as a coach next year. I don't know. I'm going to look into. I don't know the you know whether or not. It seems like he's gonna persist as a coach next year unless something else comes down the pike here. If there's some new allegation, if the attorney general is able to dredge up something before then. But yeah, as of right now, I think he's. His job has survived, but TBD, if that's the case by the fall.
I would think, or like, if these people, with it being more public now, either, like you said, either more things will come out, or perhaps the person who, the one we mentioned before, left school, left town, who knows if they can come back and bring this to him, because I'm wondering if it's so public now, where people come forward and that. I don't want to see people lose their job just because, but if there's more to this that may or may not be, we both don't know for sure. And that's what I'm thinking, where, like you said, that could be his ultimate downfall, where, oh, I'm going to come back and talk about this because it's more public. Or, hey, this happened to me from Player X or Coach X. I told them and nothing happened. I'm thinking, you're right, that's probably, I think that's the next step, because look what's been going on everywhere else with Harry Weinstein. Like, one person, then a million different people come about it. Kevin Spacey, one thing leads to five other things. And so I'm thinking, this one thing could lead to...
Yeah, I think, part of it is, you know, or has the university exhausted itself so far? I mean, is there the appetite for it? And again, I mean, in the most crass sense, I mean, part of this also has to do with on-field performance. Yeah. So maybe we're not talking about... the termination before the football season, but, you know, UNM did not do well last year on the field. You know, I mean, this is a sad state of affairs, but people's ethics often are intertwined with the on-field success. And so, you know, if he has a bad year this upcoming year, I mean, maybe that plays a factor in some way, shape, or form. But in terms of does he get canned before the start of the season, it doesn't seem like, based on this, that will happen. But then again, it doesn't seem like this is the last investigation that will be done about Bob Davey.
It's just, there's not much more to say at the moment, but I don't know, I just don't see how he makes it, but they're digging their feet in. And also, like, unless we're really going to end here because it's been way too long, but great stuff. I think you're right, he could be the stick with the job, because the university is sticking their heels in about all these things, like you said, moving the suspension till after signing day, taking multiple years to go back to report stuff, re-reporting stuff that they said this is the case, like the hand thing, like when he busted his hand in the locker room, they said, oh, I injured it doing whatever, came out, I think, a few months, one of your pieces pre-Thanksgiving, I think, no, Bob, oh yeah, I did break my hand, got in the fight with the player. So it's like going back and re-reporting, you know, I mean, it's going back and re-saying things that happened in the past. And so they're going to want to stick in, but you'd think the university would have, like, keep some credibility for yourself, man. You keep this guy around with this stuff alleged. How do you keep somebody around where I know there's money involved, but have some pride? You know what I mean?
Well, and again, this goes back to, you know, there's just not one kind of consensus view at the top about how to view this stuff. And there are people, I mean, he has, you know, influential and powerful authorities who want him to stick around, and that's, you know, that's part of the decision making tree, is who's ultimately at the top of it. I mean, it's a mess. It is a mess in New Mexico, and it's a mess. It's a mess that they, you know, and this has been sort of the case at other schools. It's a mess that they might not be able to solve themselves out before it turns into a much larger scandal of some kind. Just because they just don't seem, you know, to be able to get together and have a consensus about, you know, how to handle this, and it's now led to a situation where, you know, now the tail is really wagging the dog. And they've shown an incapacity to sort of handle, or to sort of remove the cut off limbs to save the body in other instances. So this might just be another one.
Yeah, it's not like this program's amazing. So that's the depths are going to protect this. Like, yeah, they were co-champs a couple years ago in football, vastly improved over Mike Loxley. But it's like, is this worth it for your program that's barely making bowl games? It's like, I don't know. But
well, yeah, that's a very good thing. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why my blog keeps going, is because there's just more and more to write about. There's they give a lot for reporters to sink their teeth in, much to their own detriment.
Exactly. So I think we've done enough for today. So Daniel, I appreciate you spending a good hour on a Sunday morning to chat about this type of stuff. So do this, everybody, folks, do this. Check out nmfishbowl.com on Twitter, or nmfishbowl.com. You'll find them on Twitter. Look, there's going to be more on this, obviously. I'll link, check out the New York Times profile, tweet out again, that says, hey, how did this guy get started? It's a good piece about a few months, or a year ago, now I guess, well, 6 months, October, but we'll see what happens, what's going forward. But again, Daniel, thank you so much for hopping on for a good hour to chat about this stuff, because you're the guy who's basically Could we say you started it all essentially almost for this getting deeper and deeper?
I think it's fair to say that I've really been the only reporter, writing on the Bob Davies story. Yeah, I will
okay.
take that back, Pat.
And New Mexico fans who get pissy at you on Twitter, shut up, relax. It's okay.
It's
okay to be critical.
Territory.
Oh, I'm familiar, but it's like, come on, it's okay. Like, it's okay to be critical, like you are, like, but then or for other people, but it's like, it's your beloved program. I get it, but. You want a? Not, I know every program's not great, but when there's stuff getting to this level, come on, think about it. But well, that's for another day. But keep reading. We'll keep reading your stuff, and if something crazy goes down again, because you're the guy who we probably should be chatting more about with this, we will. But again, thanks, Daniel, for hopping on, and we'll see you next time.
All right, thanks so much, Jeremy. You take care.
One more time, thank you very much for Daniel Livett of NMFishbowl.com for hopping on and joining us to discuss. A good hour, so I appreciate it. That's a long time to sacrifice a Sunday afternoon or early morning to chat with this little guy here. We've been conversational for a while, just sending emails or just letting us know when they wrote something big or anything about the situation. And he gave a glad to get him because, like I said, I could have wrote something, but it probably wouldn't have been as clear or as coherent outside of me. Like, oh, let me do kind of copy and paste a report and put some insights here or thoughts, but. I don't really want to put too many thoughts or extra editorial commentary about sexual assault because, well, I don't want to say something correct because that could be a bad thing. But we go through the report. We went through all that. And there's other stuff, too, we'd even touch. Like, there's stuff with other athletic stuff, like non-football sports or non-basketball about not being safe on road trips. He discovered in end-of-year interviews something he wrote a while back about sports that are not being recognized for winning national championships when the track and field team is good or the ski team or other sports that just aren't the moneymaker sports, which New Mexico, well, as we talked about the buyout, that's kind of a reason maybe Davey could stick around for buyout and technicalities where he could be the coach still. And it's still an ongoing story, ongoing process, so still check out their stuff. We'll retweet this stuff, have him back on if that's the case. We definitely want to just be in the know because he's basically been doing this from day one. He, like I say, he'll be honest. He started the Bob Davey thing. He went down the rabbit hole to find what's up with the Wise Pies deal? What's up with that? What are they saying? And he found this. A, B, and C led to him gathering other sources, knowing people, talking to people, and it helps with his background of being a political reporter before to know how to do those type of things. And it's just, I thought it was a great, great list. I know some Lobo fans are like, why are you talking about this? This is not good. He's slandering the program. Here's the thing, folks. Every program probably does something or does do something that's not on the up and up. But this goes beyond giving a guy $20 to go get a dinner or something. This goes beyond, oh, we practiced 21 hours instead of 20 hours. It goes beyond other things. Like, there was stuff about, oh, I get some professors don't want to be too accommodating for athletes, so it kind of goes both ways a little bit. But them saying, don't worry, going to easy majors is one of the pieces of the article. If you're going to be a nurse, if you're going to be health field, you can't play a sport because the time restraints are put on you, which I'm familiar with. My wife was a nurse, just a student. Crazy schedule she had to keep. And so stuff like that, not being up front, like, again, safety on 15-hour car rides when you're on a team that takes a bus or a van to go to whatever event you have the upcoming week. Going to a job fair where, oh, you could be a sales job to change majors. But it's like, well, there's lots of stuff that aren't flattering about the Lobos program at the moment overall, but it's good to get this stuff out because when they're covering up or defending or hiding stuff that's, like, again, the sexual assault stuff's a pretty big deal. Allegedly trying to gather dirt on the accuser just because they want to keep players on the team or not punishing them right away instead of going through the legal process, which I think is fine in some cases, but when it's allegedly raping somebody, oh yeah, maybe you should sit them down and say, hey, you're not going to play until we figure this out, because that's a pretty big deal. It's not I don't want to compare it to anything else, but like I said, beginning of the show, there's a lot of there's a differentiate from crime A to crime Z. Jaywalking to kicking somebody in the face, you know what I mean, to fighting, to running the red light. There's different levels of punishment, and I don't think you can let the legal process play out when it's at the higher end of sexual assault. So that's just my opinion. And Bob Davey felt, well, let's see if they're innocent or not, and or guilty or whatever may be the case, and then we'll punish them or not, depending on what the outcome of the case is. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but I appreciate, again, Daniel for hopping on. We'll definitely have him on again if something big goes down. His prediction of Bob Davey will at least be the coach to start next year, a little surprising. A little bit, I said, because once you hear the reasoning, the money issue, the way the school bungled it, he could sue the school where they could be on the hook for legal fees and his buyout. As we know within this conference, money's a big deal. Being a big deal means there's not a ton of it. And so that could be the reason why he sticks around. But again, thank you for everyone who listened to the show. Check us out. If you're first time here, which I assume a lot of people are first time listeners, go give us a review on iTunes. Go back to other shows we've listened to. Subscribe to go forward. We talk hoops, Mountless football year round. We talk football every week. So there won't be a lapse to any of that stuff. We'll talk basketball most of the year, not year round as football, but check us out at MWR.com. We're on Twitter, MWC Wire. If you want to give us $2 for Patreon, hey, you never know. We like to pay a few guys. MWC Wire on Patreon. But again, just definitely check out our site. Thanks for listening. It's been Jeremy Moss, and we'll see you next time, folks.